It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So, all right, last night, a back-to-back, a traveling back-to-back.
Yes.
For the Denver, this would be what they call in the business a schedule loss on paper.
Yes.
The Raptors had 122 points with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and a 12-point lead. They scored 4 points the rest of the way, and the Timberwolves pulled away for a comeback victory.
And it was not missing all kinds of open shots or making, you know, missing shots, throwing the ball away. The Wolves guarded the hell out of them on the perimeter. They went out and guarded the perimeter. It was amazing to watch. I couldn't believe what I was watching. And as I said here when we were talking before, when they don't have to take D'Lo out to get better, it's, down the stretch, it's pretty good. He was even guarding guys. I don't know what got into him. But he had that one little stretch, a month ago, where he had 2-3 games in a row, and then he just became what he is. But last night, that's his fourth quarter. He had 16 or something.
He hit three consecutive three-pointers to basically erase the double-digit lead. Yeah.
How would you like to be coaching that? And just know that you're only going to get it about 30% of the time. But when you get it, you say, yes, Nas battles and Luka Garza's usable. And they got some depth and Noel's good. I don't know. We were just talking. Trade Cat, trade Gobert, start all over again with Spunky. Spunky, start Garza at center. Let's go get rid of both of them this summer. Come on, let's go. Get that. Of course, the trouble is the stupid NBA rules are that you can't get rid of all your big salaries when you're over the cap, right? Because you got to take crap back, right? Don't you? I don't know how it works.
It depends. You have to, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but most teams are over the cap, which is why this is a problem. So if both teams are over the cap, then you have to make it match.
Yes.
But if another team has a bunch of cap space, you could, in theory, trade a contract to someone that can absorb it.
You could find somebody to take cap who's a cat who's under the cap. I don't think you could find somebody to take Rudy, but maybe you can find somebody under the cap to take cat so you can just get cut it down because you got to pay Anthony a $1 billion here shortly. So, but I'll say one thing, that guy's involved. There were a few games earlier this year, Edwards, where you said, okay, what's going on with him? But he's involved. Yep. And they're just a better team when he's the show, right? I mean, when he's running it, they're a better team than when either of those other guys are on the court. So, I mean, this could have been one of their great two-game sweeps of all time if they'd held on and beaten Denver the other night. But didn't you expect to see them come out and get beat by 20 last night?
They were down by double digits for almost the whole game, I feel
like. They tried for a while.
Yeah. And they're just kind of they're chucking shots, and it did look like, so it was a moral victory on national TV, and now they come home when no one's watching and just, don't play hard. But that's a good – the Raptors are not part of the 10-team play-in bracket in the in the East right now, but they're competitive enough.
They're not bad. They just beat the Knicks, came back and beat the Knicks in New York, and the Knicks are okay. And they're 5 games under 500, but they're not terrible, so – the thing about the NBA now is even the terrible aren't terrible as they used to be. There's a, you know, you got your five or six down at the bottom. Everybody beats the hell out of Detroit except us. But
although Detroit, they did blow that game last night. They had a lead last night for a while. But in the West, here's the crazy thing. So right now, as we record this morning on this Friday morning, the Timberwolves are seventh right now in the Western Conference, and they
are they one under 500 or what? 200?
They're one under 500, but they have a back to back against the Rockets, which the Wolves can lose to anyone, so I'm not going to give them. But they should rattle off a couple wins in theory. So they're tied for the seventh seed, but they are only a game and a half back of the five seed Mavericks right now, and then one of the teams in the top four is the Kings, who have the highest scoring offense in the league. But I don't know that they're going to sit. I don't think the Kings are going to be there the rest of the year. So it's crazy right now. The Western Conference, all the way down to like the 13 seed, has competitive teams.
Well, the Jazz came in and beat the Wolves the other night. But the Jazz, remember, they were 10-3 or something, and everybody, the surprise team, and then they just didn't win any games for 6 weeks, and they're behind the Wolves now. So I looked at the standings today, and I started looking from the bottom, and I had to go all the way up to six or seven to find the Wolves. I had no idea they were that high in the standings because you don't look at them that often, and it's amazing. But that was the last two nights. You can't knock them. I mean, they played great. They finished great last night, and at Denver they played great until the last four minutes, and then they kicked it away.
So as long as two of their star players don't play, they appear to be in pretty good shape. I love this.
Yeah.
Hey, Conley, great job. Thank you. Just don't play those two guys.
Yeah, if you don't have your two big guys and D'Lo decides to play, that's the third. In other words, most nights you could be better without your three highest paid guys, right? And they're making 38. Rudy's making 38. Cat's making the same, right?
35. Yeah, they're both 35. Very much on the way up to toward 50.
And D'Lo's making 30. So that's if you didn't have $105 million worth of $110 million. You're better off without your $110 million worth of players.
Yeah, and here's the biggest question in the next, like, 2.5 weeks or so, because the NBA trade deadline is on February 9th. So, you know, we got 11. So, yeah, we're like 2.5 weeks away from the deadline. If they don't trade D'Lo, I don't think they're signing D'Lo long-term, because they got to pay Ant, they got to pay Jaden McDaniels.
So they're not signing him.
Hell so they have two options. You can let him walk this summer. And you might think, well, it's $30 million off the books, but it's not, because you're over the cap. So you would only get like half of that cleared from your books. Or you could trade him sometime in the next 2.5 weeks.
Wouldn't you love to see him play like this for 2 weeks, though? So you could trade him?
Yes.
Somebody might, instead of having to take just garbage back, right, you could maybe get another point guard that somebody else thinks they're upgrading by getting D'Lo, you know, somebody, because they need a point guard, you know, they need somebody to, you know, since Jordan, McLaughlin's not your guy anyway, but plus he has to have his leg amputated or something here. He hasn't played for
one like leg.
Months.
Jump around on one leg, dude.
He's got a worse calf than Cat does. But yeah, it had to be a pleasant surprise to everybody who went to that game last night, not to see the, you know, once they were down and after the disappointment of the night before and the trip and the whole thing, you know, you would have expected them to just lay down and take a 20-point beating, but they didn't. So good for them.
Poor Chris Finch. He's got to go into the coach's room after every game and say, what the bleep is going on here?
Dude, on any given night, they could go on the road play the Nuggets down to the final minute with two guys out, or they could go lose two games to Detroit. Like, it's ridiculous.
I heard a rumor that this is a third hand that Finchie likes D'Lo about as well as Zim like Cousins, from what I understand. He drives him nuts, you know. But last night only adds to him driving you nuts, right?
Exactly. The only difference is Finch can bench D'Lo at the end of a key playoff game, Vikings coaches can't, unfortunately.
Are we ready to get off the Wolves? Are we ready? That's it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. You can move off.
You mentioned the Kirk Cousins. So somebody asked Peterson about Cousins' pass, right? And Peterson says, well, I thought maybe when I saw it, I thought he forgot what down it was, you know, because he couldn't figure out why he did that. So now Peterson is blaming it all on Kirk and defending the defense.
Yeah.
Because all the reaction is he's asked a question. He answered it. He did. And he also said, by the way, in the same quote, that he's a top 10 quarterback, which is way overpraised, but that's okay. But he was not defending the defense. He knew he knows he had a terrible game, but he was asked a question and he answered it. So what, you know, why is he now a villain?
I thought he might have lost track of downs is one of my favorites of all time, though.
And then he said he was taken aback on the sidelines, which was,
it was great.
No, he was honest. God, we don't want any honesty, do we?
No, I know.
But dude, you are so right. There is, I don't know what it is, and maybe it's just that people have platforms to just amplify opinions now, but we have gone so far into this one person to blame, black and white, this, like Peterson says this, and people just assume that he did a 40-minute podcast trashing Kirk Cousins, like...
In fact, he did a two-sentence, I don't know what went on, and then he said, buddy, he's a top-10 quarterback, and you can win with him. So,
yeah.
And I'm sure if he was asked in there about some of his coverage of mistakes on Sunday, he would have been honest about it and said something.
But then the other thing is, like, people, you know, oh, it's just one play. Of course you're going to pick out the one play. Well, when the one play happens in the biggest moment of the game, it is worth mentioning in passing, okay?
You know when the Seattle decided to pass down on the goal line at the end of the Super Bowl instead of having Marshawn Lynch, that was just one play.
It was one play.
It was a lot of it. It was just one play, for God's sakes. Let's go. You know, Gary Anderson, it was just one field
goal. One kick. Just one kick.
You guys are trashing Gary Anderson.
Yeah,
what a great season. So, Royce, congratulations. You called it yesterday. Exactly right. The Vikings conveniently waited until till the press conference for the season ending presser was done to send out, as you said, they're going to send out a release with a quote, and they did. Kevin O'Connell really appreciates Ed Donatell's service. Thank you so much.
And I ripped him on Twitter, as a lot of us media types did. And people are saying, well, they didn't inform him until yesterday. They weren't meeting. Well, then have your end of the year press conference on Thursday. Talk to your staff on Wednesday. Make your decisions. And then on Thursday, you know, there's no rush to have this bore-ass end of the year press conference, right? You can do it on, if you can wait till Wednesday, you can wait till Thursday. But it's just, I mean, it was 100% predictable. This is what it was going to be. But, I'm sure that they gave hot quotes to the Vikings.com people who would have taken a harsh.
Oh, let me check, actually. Let me see.
Asked them some tough questions about it. So it is funny. But it is also funny that, and that somebody said this on my Twitter account, which I appreciated. Somebody said, you've trashed this guy all year. The fans have been just, since about game four, they've been trashing him. And now they want him treated with respect, and they're defending the Vikings for treating him with respect. You know, you did everything but kill his dog and his lawn, and leave it laying in the front yard like the
Dan Devine
100 years ago, but now they want him treated with respect. The Vikings were classy because they treated him with respect. No, they were gutless because they didn't want to answer direct questions about it. They talked about the defense being bad, but, you got to have a chance to say, okay, what went wrong? Was this Ed? Was this you? Who wanted to play this 3-4 like this? Who wanted to do this? They would have answered it, but you should have been. They wouldn't have answered it, but Thomason should have had a chance to ask it, don't you think?
Yeah, it's where there's no defending it. Yeah.
You his own bedside manner. Don't you think that would have been great to have Thomason going after him? It would have been great.
So why are they afraid? Because I think afraid is the right word. I mean, they did this on purpose so that they wouldn't have to answer tough questions about Ed Donatell, which is, by the way, it's such a standard thing in the NFL. Every year, coordinators are swapped out and things happen. I mean, John Harbaugh is one of the most respected coaches in the league, and they just parted ways with Greg Roman yesterday, and then Wink Martindale the year before, and he gets up there. And
yeah, they just, you know, it goes back, however, to my statement that whoever put those titles on coaches 60 years ago was a genius. Yes, Kevin O'Connell. We had a horrible defense, and I told them to play the 3-4, and let's blame the coordinator and run his ass out of here, even though he takes no responsibility. This way you take no responsibility. You just fire the coordinator, right?
Yes.
And get 2-3 years there when you fire the coordinator, and then, you know, he can't. One risk these coaches take by calling their own plays is they can't blame the offensive coordinator.
Vikings.com. So they have the press release article, and you were wondering if maybe Vikings.com did some reaction to this. There is one link. It's a video with some reaction to the Donatell firing. It's Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, Ben Lieber, and Ron Johnson giving their candid opinions about the Ed Donatell firing.
On some kind of a Viking show or what?
I think they just sent in some selfie videos and glued them together for a Vikings.com.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, very objective sources there, too. So that'll be good. Yep. Okay. All righty. How about those Gophers?
Did they play last night?
The halftime score was...
That's right. They were down. They scored 12 points in the first half.
They got rolled by Purdue, shockingly.
The halftime score was Zach Eddy 12, Gophers 12. And then they didn't play him much in the second half. But I saw a reference to lowest point total for Gophers since 1951.
Peach Baskets.
When they played at Indiana. So I looked it up, and John Wareham, who runs the library for us, he's gonna send me the clip. But I think the Gophers held the ball that game. It was 36-24, and Indiana used to be called the Hurrying Hoosiers. You know, they run up and down the court, and they were beating teams 70-40, and the Gophers went down to Assembly, wherever they played back then, and got beat 36-24. So I wonder how far back beyond them holding the ball in 51, you have to go to find them not score. God almighty, what's he going to
do? We'll always have Ohio State, Pat. Don't forget that, okay? We'll always have Ohio State.
Well, here's the deal, though. Last night, nobody there again, right? Like, they only announced 9,100. You know,
I mean, there's no reason to.
What's the incentive to show up?
No reason.
They had a decent crowd for Ohio State. They had maybe 8,000 bodies. Not Ohio State. Who was the morning game? The morning game.
Oh, Rutgers?
Was it Rutgers? Yeah.
Rutgers, Nebraska.
Yeah, they had a decent crowd for Nebraska. Nebraska. Maybe Nebraska people came. I don't know. So, and then they, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's just awful.
So this Zach Eadie, who you said a couple days ago is the front runner for National College Player of the Year, 7'4". If you're wondering how hard it is to get your offense in against a 7'4" monster, the Gophers' two tallest players went 3-for-22 from the field last year.
You know what the Gophers need? Rudy Gobert.
They do.
Has there ever been a trade? Has there ever been an NBA college basketball trade? We need Rudy in the middle at Williams. He's in the wrong building.
How about Cat and Gobert who are we going to take? We're going to take Battle back at a terrible game. I don't know if I want Darson Garcia, but I don't know who else.
How about Ola Joseph? Give me Ola Joseph.
Ola Joseph, one of those. Oh, man.
He's a young, he's a freshman.
Or just the contribution.
Boy,
Gobert, contribution. Tax write-off, boys.
What kind of a that's right. We could give it to the scholarship fund or something.
St. Thomas actually swooped him up. Sorry, Gophers.
We didn't talk about St. Thomas. Did we talk about him? How about
$75 million.
Yeah, Lee Anderson. He's not even a Catholic. Dean Hart, you know, and he didn't have any kids go to school there, but Dean Hart got him onto the Tommy's board and everything a few years back, and he gave him 50 or 60 the first time to build the facility and then the student union. And this time he gave him 75, but then somebody told me he sold his company for $2.9 billion. He had a bunch of little companies. So anyway, but
Judd, yeah. if you had $75 million burning a hole in your pocket, would you go to Benilde St. Margaret and get him some new goalposts, or what would you do?
Oh, I'd contribute it. Yeah. If you named the school for me.
Get him to move highway. Get him to move that street right in front there, where if you take two steps out the front door, you got a chance to get hit by a car.
The frontage road. I could build my arena on the frontage road. You know what? They do need a rink. They don't have an on campus hockey rink, so that's not a bad idea.
They could, yeah, they could. But anyway, I don't know what we're gonna what. Oh man, how bad? What? What kind of a slump is Ohio State in that they lost to these guys and then I think they got beat again by Nebraska or something. They lost like four in a row.
Not going to be considered a quality win for the Gophers on the bubble later this year if Ohio State keeps losing?
I don't know. I was predicting after the Nebraska game where they played okay. Nebraska isn't great, but they played okay. I was predicting they could equal last year's four wins in the Big Ten, but after last night, I'm not so sure.
It's going to be tough. Yeah.
39 points. Boy, oh boy.
Usually when you see Rutgers twice on your schedule, you're like, oh, they're ranked 23rd right now. So yeah, you can't,
actually good.
Can't even rely on Rutgers.
To go back to St. Thomas, apparently they're only going to hold about five for basketball, right? And people don't think that. I still think they're going to get in the Big East in about 5 years, 4 years. But people think the arena might not be big enough. But the way college sports are going now, like Rutgers, everybody keeps telling me Rutgers got the best arena in the league, and it's 8,000 seats. It's, you know, because it's full. They go in there, it's loud, it's full. You know, you put 5,500 in a place, and it's the atmosphere is going to be a lot better than having 6,000 people in Williams Arena, don't you think?
And is college basketball even the next 20 years as you build new arenas, you look at it, is for decades it was this wildly popular sport. Guys stayed for 4 years. You could easily pack 15, 20,000 people in an arena. I don't know that it's a 50 outside of like the top 20 programs and the Dukes and whatnot. Yeah. I don't know that it's a 15, 20,000 seat sport.
No, it's not. It's not. In fact, college sports in general are not drawing people. I mean, the football attendance is down a lot of places. Even, Alabama has empty seats when they play one of the Dogs and stuff. It's the old 90,000 seat. It's people are just, I go there. It takes me hours to get in and out of the stadium. I pay an ungodly amount of money, or I can stay home and watch my 70-inch television, right? Yep. And have a bunch of friends over. I can throw a party and spend less money than I'm going to spend going to the game. I mean, college sports and just plus, they got to do something. You can't tell me I can't buy a ticket, a season ticket, unless I donate $250 to your scholarship fund. You should be out there saying, come and buy your tickets, and if you want to be nice and give us a donation, fine, but charge for the ticket and forget the scholarship BS. That ship has sailed in college sports, the fact that you can gouge everybody.
You want a brick? A Patrick Royce brick somewhere?
Yeah, I didn't buy any bricks. No, I don't buy any bricks.
I think if anyone deserves a brick outside the Gopher football stadium, it's Patrick James Royce.
You know what? They're going to be the next to give you some award as a thank you for your service to the community.
An engraved ore. Yep. Lifetime achievement.
You agree with me, boys? These little honors are everybody saying it's all over.
It's time.
This is it for him. We better do it before he's,
Let's just say you don't fit the 2023 media profile they desire. Okay.
that's a lot of places. And I hate to change the topic, but Jake Maurer died. Joe's daddy.
Oh, what?
a couple of nights ago, yeah. And I think they probably wrote the obit today. I found out yesterday morning and confirmed it with a couple of people. But he's a good guy, very humble, having this great kid, and good guy. My favorite story, they were really blue collar when Joe was a kid, that family. Teresa worked at St. Mark's or something, the wife, and, was a secretary, and Joe and Jake did various things. Jake had an old truck with a bad muffler. And, you know, Joe played sports with all the black kids over at Jimmy Lee's playground. Those were his teammates in basketball and football. And they were getting ready to play like the St. Paul championship game. And Joe hadn't showed up yet. It was like 5 minutes beforehand, and all his teammates were dressed and they were all nervous. And the legend is they didn't see the truck, but they heard it. It was around, it was like two blocks away, and they heard it. They all started saying to each other, "Joe's coming, Joe's coming, Joe's on the way." They were worried about Joe getting there. Jake had such a lousy old truck, you could hear it two blocks away. So,
my God, is this public yet? I mean, it is now, I guess, but like.
I guess I put it on Twitter late last night. Okay. I think it was already out there by some other people, so. But I don't know if the family's, I don't know if the obit's been published yet or not. But yes, I've confirmed it with a family member. So anyway.
Well, that's sad. Yeah.
Too bad. Good guy. He was a good guy. Love them heaters, though. Man, alive. He'd have to find that area to pound that butt someplace. The going outside to get a cigarette was tough. I don't know if he was still pounding them, but he was a couple of years ago.
That's a tough generation, man. Just ripping heaters for 50 years. So, all right, Pat. Well, we will we'll catch up with you early next week after another football playoff fun fest this weekend across 2 days.
Who we like this weekend? I haven't even looked. Just so Jacksonville gets beat. Let's get rid of that.
So you're bored with Jacksonville?
I'm bored with Jacksonville.
Plus, I think you're fine. Yeah, the Chiefs will probably take care of it.
Yesterday. Why can't that guy get a haircut?
Wow, and flowing locks, baby. Yeah.
All right, see you, Pat. All right, let's wrap in with Royce here. You can find Royce Unchained in all forms. Everything he does with us on the Royce Unchained podcast feed.